Chapter 2. At first, when I woke up, I listened for sounds of people in the house. Then I remembered that everyone was gone. I fixed myself some cornflakes and milk. I sat in the kitchen eating my breakfast. It was very quiet, quieter than it had been the night before. I'd always heard people say it was so quiet you could hear yourself think, and I always thought it was a silly figure of speech. How can you hear yourself think? Now, in the quiet kitchen, I really could hear myself think. I washed the dirty dishes from breakfast and the night before, and then I sat around thinking about what I would do that day. I didn't feel like going to the pool. It seemed to me that I ought to do something that took advantage of my being on my own. One thing I had been planning to try was smoking. Mom had left a pack of her lemon-flavored cigarettes on the kitchen counter. I lit one up. It felt good sitting at the kitchen table holding the cigarette. If I knew how to make coffee, I would have tried that too. But I had to settle for the lemon-flavored cigarette and a glass of milk. I was afraid the cigarette would make me cough. It didn't, though. It just made me sick. I got dizzy and started to sweat, and wound up throwing up my cornflakes and milk. So much for smoking. I just hung around for a couple of hours, looking at magazines and getting over being sick. I thought about the stuff I had seen on television, and wondered what Walter Cronkite was doing on his vacation. I wished I could remember some of the tunes the Lizard Band was playing. I checked the TV listings for the night before, and there wasn't anything about them. The last listing was the monster movie, The Island of Dr. Morbo. Then I got the idea of going to Hogboro. Kids from McDonaldsville just about never go to the city of Hogboro, even though there is a bus every 20 minutes and it takes less than half an hour. I myself had only been in Hogboro a few times, when Mom and Dad took us to dinner and a movie, and once when there was a school trip to a museum. Another time I had gone with Mom on the bus, and we went to a couple of big department stores. When we got back, she said that the stores weren't any better than the ones in McDonaldsville, and that being in the city made her feel insecure. I thought the stores in Hogboro were a lot better than the ones in McDonaldsville. For one thing, they weren't all on one level, and you rode up and down on these moving stairways. And they were crowded. People, all kinds, were everywhere. In McDonaldsville, you never get to see a crowd. Maybe you'll see a whole lot of people at a basketball game, or something like that, but it isn't a crowd. The people all know each other. Or if they don't, they should. I mean, they're all the same, and they're all there for the same reason, and they all know just what kind of house everybody else lives in and what sort of car they have, because they have a house and a car just like it. A crowd is a whole bunch of different people, all of them doing something a little bit different. They're all alone in the middle of a whole lot of people they don't know. If you were to meet somebody you knew in a real crowd, it would be a big surprise. The bus stop was 4 blocks from my house. I picked up one of the forged letters to Mom and Dad to drop in the mailbox and went to wait for the bus. When the bus came, there was hardly anybody on it. Every morning, the buses are full of men going to work in Hogboro, and every night they all ride back. The rest of the day, the buses run back and forth mostly empty, with maybe a few ladies going shopping. I sat by a window and watched as we went through the familiar streets of McDonaldsville, shopping centers, hamburger stands, houses. Then we got to streets I didn't know. The houses got closer together, and there were fewer trees. The bus passed big factories and apartment buildings. Everything seemed to be made of brick. I didn't know exactly why I was going to Hogboro. I just sort of thought of doing it, and did it. The bus was rolling down a big wide street, and I felt very good about the whole idea. The bus had not picked anyone up for quite a while. I figured that we were already in Hogboro, or close to it. We were stopped at a corner when the bus driver shouted out the window, "Hey, Chicken Man!" The driver opened the door, and a very old black man got on. He didn't pay any fare. All the people on the bus were smiling. They seemed to know who the Chicken Man was. He was wearing an old raincoat and a rumpled old hat. There was a string around his neck, and hanging from it was a toy telephone, a baby doll, little bottles of beer, a couple of bells, and a lot of other junk. I was wondering why he was called the Chicken Man when he took his hat off. And there, on his head, sitting calmly as though she were on a nest, was a big fat white chicken. "Hey, Chicken Man!" one of the passengers shouted. "Have your chicken do some tricks!" The Chicken Man did a couple of dance steps in the aisle of the bus. Then he tapped his chicken with his long bony finger, and it hopped off onto his shoulder. The chicken did all sorts of tricks. She danced on the old man's shoulders and clucked into the toy telephone, drank beer from a little bottle, and at the end of the act, hopped onto the old man's head and settled down so he could put his hat over her. At the end of the chicken act, everybody clapped and cheered. Nobody offered the Chicken Man any money, and he didn't pass his hat or anything. I guess he didn't do that for a living, just to entertain people. When the chicken man had finished his act, I noticed we were already inside the Hogboro bus terminal.